know he's talking about the thief of souls, but for some horrifying reason, I assume he means us. The sheer fear at the thought, it paralyzes me. Three abrupt raps on the door interrupt us.
Your Majesty,
Malachi calls through the door.
Galagar has been spotted.
It has to be another trap. That's what I think when I sit in the throne room next to Dez, a strange fey creature standing before us.
I saw him, the old king.
The fey can barely speak coherent words out of its misshapen mouth. Its skin is the color of a bruise, its eyes are reptilian, and its body is thin and hunched. I have no clue what creature this is, only that I've seen it before in one of Dez's sketches. Dez leans his chin on a hand, his pointer finger tapping against his cheek.
Where?
Parbos.
My skin brightens.
Are you working for him?
I ask, glamour dripping from my words. I don't want a replay of the last time we learned of Galagar's whereabouts.
No.
Does he know you've spotted him?
No.
The Night King stops tapping his cheek.
What else do you know?
That strange mouth twists.
He hides in the wilds, in the tunnels of old. Many help him. They will kill any who harm the old king.
Why do they help him? I ask.
Their minds belong to another.
I still in my seat. Dez stands, his frame imposing.
Who?
But we already know.
The thief of souls.
We need to make a decision,
Malachi says once the room clears. All that's left are him, me, Dez, and a handful of guards. Desmond glances at me.
What should we do about Galagar?
He's asking me like I'm a co-ruler. I shake my head. I don't want to make a decision like this. This is the whole reason why I've been running from the idea of being a queen. It's one thing to handle a threat or to interrogate a few fairies. It's another to make a decision with an outcome you cannot know, one that might have far-reaching consequences. I'm about to say I don't know, but damn it, my pride suddenly feels like it's on the line, and I don't want to disappoint Dez. Actually going to make a decision on this one. Fuck. To go after Galagar or not. We know where the old king is, but we knew where he was last time, and he still got the drop on us. However, if we do take him by surprise, then this could be the beginning of the end for both Galagar and the thief. The two share a bond I'm eager to break.
I think it's time we captured your father, I say slowly.
Dez stares at me for a long moment. Ever so slowly, a wicked smile spreads across his face.
The queen has spoken.
Barbos isn't as I remember it. As Dez and I descend onto the island, Malachi and Temper behind us, I get my first good look at the place since I last visited. The streets we fly over are more subdued, the sights and sounds muted. The rough crowd that usually revels out here is now largely gone. Those that remain seem to be looking over their shoulders, like they're being watched. The whole thing gives me chills.
You're just reading into things.
At least we weren't ambushed en route. I held my breath through most of the journey, waiting for Galagar to drop in and fight us. But he never appeared. Either we're lucky or the enchantments are doing their job. I can feel the spells clinging to my skin, the magic insulating me like a coat. Before we left, several of Dez's men warded Temper, Malachi, Dez, and I against enemy magic. Among other things, these enchantments hide us from our opponent's view, rendering us all but invisible to fairies like Galagar. As we fly inland, the city gives way to dense jungle. Here and there, the trees are illuminated by the glowing lights of various fey. It doesn't look like a frightening place, and yet somewhere in there lurks a killer king. can't believe we're doing this. All because I gave Dez the go-ahead. I still expect Gallagher to manifest in front of us, or for the thief's sleeping soldiers to close in from all sides. Nothing ever goes according to plan. Why should this? Yet it doesn't happen. Gallagher and what's left of the thief's army stay away, and the group of us fly sedately on, the only sound the whistle of the wind against our ears. Dez begins to dive towards the land, though this patch of jungle looks like all the others. I follow his lead, descending on the thick, dark foliage until my hands and feet skim the treetops, the leaves rustling against my skin. The tangle of dense shrubbery doesn't leave much room to land. I watch Dez, seeing the way his wings tilt around trees, and I think I get it. Until my wing clips a tree branch I didn't see, I yelp at the sting of pain, and my wing closes up reflexively. I tumble through the trees, hitting every branch that's ever existed. I fall to the forest floor with a plop. Motherfucking ow! In an instant, the bargainer appears at my side.
"You're still the clumsiest siren I've ever met," he says, extending a hand to help me up.
Yeah, I mutter, taking his hand and letting him help me up. Malachi drops down next to me, temper in his arms.
"Why don't you wake up the entire jungle while you're at it?"
my best friend says when she steps out of the fairy's arms. Giving Temper an annoyed glare, I dust off my battle leathers, picking branches out of my hair. At least I didn't lose my daggers. The twin blades remain strapped to my sides, their stone hilts gleaming. I pat a back pocket. All four of us were given a pair of iron shackles in case we happened to get in range of Gallagher. Like my knives, my set of handcuffs is right where it ought to be. Dez's eyes sweep over the thick foliage.
"Follow me,"
he says to the group. We walk for 15 minutes, our footsteps silent. Around us, the jungle seems to be holding its breath. It feels like the four of us are wandering aimlessly until Dez stops. He toes the earth in front of him. Then, with a wave of his hand, the earth in front of him clears, revealing a flat, circular stone carved with symbols in old Fae. He glances up at me.
"We're here."
Turning his attention back to the stone, the King of the Night whispers an incantation under his breath. The old Fae symbols glow emerald for a moment. Then the stone slides aside, revealing another freaking hole in the ground. What is it with this dude and holes?
"Nuh-uh,"
Temper says, eyeing it the same way I am.
"No one said anything about a tunnel. I got claustrophobia."
Dez's eyes briefly flick to her before landing on mine.
"You can opt out too,"
he tells me. I shake my head. "I'm coming with you. I go where Dez goes." His eyes glitter.
"Then I'll be waiting for you at the bottom."
With that, he takes a step and drops into the earth.
"Shit,"
Temper swears behind me. I glance at her, then Malachi. The general looks menacing in the darkness. He's not too pleased that Temper and I are here, putting ourselves in the line of fire, but he hasn't tried to stop either of us the way he tried last time. Taking a breath, I sit down at the edge of the hole, dipping my feet into the darkness. My boot bangs against a ladder set into the side of the hole, and I slide my body down until I can grab the handholds. And then I begin to descend. I can't say how far down I have to climb, only that when I reach the bottom of the hole, Dez is there waiting for me, his form illuminated by orbs of light.
"Brave siren,"
he says as I drop the last few feet to the ground. This isn't bravery. Bravery is facing whatever lies at the end of these tunnels. Before I respond, I hear Malachi's heavy weight as he clambers down the ladder. It's only once I step away from the hole that the general releases his hold on the ladder and drops the rest of the way to the ground, landing heavily on the damp earth. The general straightens, looking back up at the opening. As if on cue, I hear angry muttering far above us, followed by the agitated pound of Temper's feet against the ladder. When she reaches the bottom, she hops off the ladder and glares at each one of us. Let the record show that I am not happy about this.
You could have waited for us above, I say.
I'm not going to wait in some random jungle while my friends hunt a bloodthirsty king. This shit is my jam.
Aw, she said friends. Plural. Someone's learning how to play nice with others.
Dez's eyes sweep over us, and then he turns and begins striding down one of the tunnels. How he knows which to take is beyond me. Overhead tree roots cling to the curve of the ceiling, illuminated by orbs of light that bob along above us. Small fey creatures scurry along the roots, one pausing to hiss at the air in our direction like it senses something is off. But it doesn't see us.
What is this place? Temper asks, staring at one of the orbs of light as it softly bounces among the tree roots.
The angels of small death used to use tunnels like these to move sensitive goods,
Malachi says, his voice rumbling.
Ironic that the authority they once hid from is now the criminal they're after.
I glance at our surroundings with new eyes. Dez and Malachi must have worked within these tunnels for years, moving illegal items, hoarding treasure, and hiding from the king's men. The whole thing is so surreal to me. This place and all of the lives Dez lived long before he was mine.
He was always ours, my siren says.
I stare at the bargainer's broad back. I know he'd say the same thing. The tunnel seems to stretch on for an eternity, and the farther we go, the more my skin prickles. Maybe it's the close quarters or the darkness or being underground, or maybe it's the man we're after. But something just doesn't sit right with me. Dez stops, putting up a hand.
Caligar is just ahead.
He breathes. Reflexively, my hand goes to my dagger. Dez begins walking again, and mechanically, I follow him. Up ahead, the tunnel opens into a room, but I don't see just how massive the chamber really is until we enter it. We must be beneath a hill, for the ceiling arcs high above us. It's as big as some of the palace ballrooms I've been in, though this one lacks all of the beauty and refinement of those fey palaces, the walls here made of plain packed earth. It's a room meant to store a warehouse's worth of goods. At the moment, however, it's mostly empty, save for a few bags of gold. Well, a few bags of gold and an undead king. Across the room, Galagar sits in a throne of sorts. It's the saddest sight, seeing him slouched in that silver chair, as though waiting to hear the grievances of an audience that never comes. His storm-gray eyes are turbulent as they stare off into the distance, and I get a chill, looking at that nefarious face which is so similar to my mate's. He can't see us. The enchantments really did work. We're standing right in front of Galagar, yet we're utterly invisible to the Tyrant King. Floating in the air in front of him is a piece of unrolled parchment, and at his side is a meal, both which he appears to have forgotten about. Is this what he does all day? Hide and ponder and plot? My eyes move over the room again. There's a honeycomb of entrances and exits into this chamber, and I have no idea how I'm going to figure out which one to take when we leave. A worry for later, once Galagar is ours. It seems so easy. He's right there in front of us. All we have to do is pluck him from his knockoff throne, slap a pair of iron cuffs on his wrists, and take him back to Somnia. Maybe it would have played out that way. But we've only taken a few short steps towards him when the air around us wavers. Just as it does, I feel the enchantments dissolving away. Pretty sure that wasn't supposed to happen. In an instant, Galagar's eyes dart to us. I catch the flicker of surprise in them, but then his face breaks out into a cold, malicious smile.
My ill-begotten son, we meet again.
Chapter 32.
And you brought friends, Galagar says casually, his eyes flicking to us.
I suddenly feel awkward standing here like the four of us are some gang of supernatural Avengers,
only we've been caught with our pants down. Not how I imagined this interaction unfolding. Dez saunters forward, slipping his hands into his pocket.
I never thought I'd see the day when you were the one living in the caves, and I the king,
he says smoothly. Ooh, burn. One of Gallagher's hands fists, but that's his only reaction. The piece of parchment floating in front of him rolls up and sails softly onto the floor next to the bags of gold. In one of the darkened hallways leading into the room, I see a flicker of movement. Is that Dez's darkness? Something else? It's impossible to tell. The undead king crosses one leg over the other, raising his eyebrows as his gaze moves over us.
I'm sorry, am I supposed to be frightened? Two slaves and a petty criminal with a title? Oh, and my scheming son.
This asshole! All his atrocities aside, he must have been a real prick to be around.
How are your wings feeling?
Dez asks.
Still broken?
Gallagher stares up at him, settling deeper into his seat.
I imagine you remember the feeling. Your wings snapped like twigs beneath my touch.
I'd almost forgotten the injury Dez sustained back in the Flora Kingdom. So many terrible things happened that night.
Your throne is cute,
the bargainer says, continuing forward.
I gave my servant's daughter one just like that, only I believe it was a little bigger.
Damn! Fairies don't fuck around with their insults. Gallagher's eyes narrow. I'm waiting for his retort when he disappears. My siren surfaces in an instant, making my skin glow. Gallagher reappears in front of Dez, fist cocked. The bargainer vanishes just as quickly, flickering into existence behind Gallagher. Dez slams a booted foot into his father's back, knocking the fairy down at my feet. My soulmate puts a foot to his father's throat, his hand reaching for his shackles.
Is that all the fight you have? You're making this too easy.
Why fight when the odds are so unfair?
His father rasps out. Dez tilts his head, his eyes narrowing.
You said yourself that we were just some lowly slaves and criminals, no match for the great Gallagher Nix.
A child appears in one of the doorways leading into the room, distracting me from the face-off in front of me. The little girl looks absurdly out of place until I see her eyes. All that anger, all that malevolence. She must be a casket child. From the other doorways, another few children appear, followed by soldiers with glazed eyes, their uniforms bloody. Sleeping soldiers.
You didn't think I was talking about myself when I said the odds were unfair, did you?
Gallagher wheezes, smiling in spite of his windpipe getting slowly crushed. Some of the children begin to bare their fangs, while others start to growl. The soldiers methodically grab their weapons. The soldiers are coming from all directions, their bodies filling the doorways all around the room. Dez glances at the new additions, and his boot digs in a little harder.
I'd say the odds are still stacked against you, old man, but you'd only know that if you didn't live in a cave.
He's referring to me and my glamour, I realize. Sleeping soldiers are nothing more than props once I use my magic on them. The undead king wears a malicious smile as he stares up at his son right before he disappears. Gallagher manifests among the soldiers as they file into the room from all sides. Within a minute, they form a ring around the four of us, their faces placid, their eyes eerily empty. A scuffle and a choked sound come from one of the soldiers behind me. I turn just in time to see a bloody sword impaled through the fairy's abdomen. A second later, it's jerked out the way it came, making a wet, sucking noise. The bleeding soldier teeters for a few seconds, then topples forward. In the darkened doorway beyond the dying fairy, a form steps out, his body rapidly brightening by the second until all I can see is a sphere of light. When it dims again, I'm left staring at the King of Day. Didn't know he was invited to the party. Apparently, Dez called in his allies' help.
I heard the Night Kingdom had a vermin problem,
Janice says,
his eyes alight on Gallagher. Ah, there's the rat himself.
My mate's face remains impassive, even as he steps up to my side. Gallagher's eyes narrow.
Did you come here to kill me, too?
Well, I didn't come for the weather. Janice replies. Blood still drips from his sword as he strides forward, and he makes no attempt to wipe it off. He comes over to the four of us, nodding to Dez, then Malachi and Temper. Temper, for her part, eyes him up and down like he's lunch. When Janice's eyes land on me, he bows.
Lady, you have my sword and shield.
My lips part in surprise. I'd assumed the Day King came here because he and Dez were allies, but perhaps that's not the reason. Janice swore his fealty to me not so long ago. Perhaps Dez told him of our plan. Perhaps this is him upholding his oath. The soldiers make no move to retaliate for the death of their comrade. They just continue to watch us with the same stoic expressions. Gallagher studies Janice for another moment. Then his eyes are drawn to me. My skin still glows, and the longer he looks at me, the more intrigued he appears.
Slave, he murmurs.
Louder, he says, I've a message for you. A heavy hand falls on Gallagher's shoulder.
Enough,
the soldier behind him says. The undead king glares at the gore-stained soldier, though the fairy pays the king no heed as he saunters forward, his eyes lit with dark delight. There's only one person who looks at me like that. Enchantress, the thief says. How you beguile me even now. It's a horrible sensation to hear that mercurial spirit of his projected through someone else's body. I had thought to simply watch and enjoy the bloodbath, but he stares at me with sick fascination. I want you to notice me as I have noticed you. Next to me, Dez's wings manifest, spreading out behind him. Around us, shadows fill the room. The thief of souls notices none of it. Baptized in blood, given over to your wildest nature. If I could touch your mind, maybe then I'd be satisfied. The gore-stained soldier closes in on me, drawing in near enough for me to smell the rot clinging to him. Dez steps in front of me, his wings shielding me from view. It's not my fists you need to protect her from, the thief says. I can no longer see him, but I can feel his eyes all over my skin, watching me from dozens of different soldiers. A single secret can cause so much trouble. Isn't that right, Desmond? My mate says nothing, and unfortunately I can't see what expression he wears. His wings, however, begin to fold up, which is at least some indication that his emotions are steady. The thief continues.
And we both know you have more than just one secret,
the thief says. His eyes slip to me.
Has the King of the Night told you about me and Gallagher?
What is he talking about? I step up next to Dez and take a good look at him. He's wearing his secret-keeping face. The longer I gaze at him, the more uneasy I feel. The thief raises his eyebrows.
I take it he hasn't.
He shakes his head in admonishment.
I know you have a reputation to uphold, Desmond, but one would think you'd at least be open with your mate.
The bargainer's eyes move from the soldier's to mine.
Cherub,
he says, and I can tell he's choosing his words carefully.
I have been dishonest with you.
He looks so foreign, so fey. My heart beats a little louder.
I told you I knew nothing of the prophecy of Gallagher Nix, or how he and the thief were connected, but those were lies. I have read my father's prophecy. I know why he is after you and what he fears. I know when and how he sought the thief out, and I know how he must be stopped.
My eyebrows pull together, even as I glance over at Gallagher. The traitor king's gaze moves to me, and I can see lethal promise in them. My siren bristles at the threat. Come closer, fallen king, so that I might better carve you up.
Desmond, aren't you going to tell her the rest?
The thief chimes in. He's still staring at me, giving me that same uncanny look he used to when he was the Green Man.
Tell her how you learned of my true identity and where I lived. Tell her how you kept that knowledge from her. Tell her and the rest of your friends.
Each statement of the thief's lips is a toxin, slowly poisoning my thoughts. Has the Night King been deceiving me all this time?
You may have your wiles, Enchantress, but you are not one for puzzles. A shame, really, when your mate so clearly is. He's figured out quite a bit more than you have.
Desmond, Janice says, taking a step towards us, is what he's saying true?
Des watches me, not answering, so I answer for him.
It is. I feel my knees weaken as Janice and the others begin to talk at once, voicing their frustration. Des is smarter than this. Everything I'm learning right now doesn't align with what I know of my mate. He may be secretive and a little wicked, but he's loyal. Whatever's going on, whatever deception the thief is trying to capitalize on, it must be some sort of smokescreen. I capture Des's hand, holding it between my own. There are so many things I want to tell him. How messed up it is that he kept me out of the loop. How I swear to God I will kick him in his fine ass if he continues to make a habit of lying. But more important, I trust you, I say softly. Des's gaze is steady, but his eyes burn like dying stars. He squeezes my hand.
You are my life, Cherub.
With that, he reaches for the sword strapped to him, unsheathing it in one fluid movement. He strikes down the gore-stained soldier standing before us. Around the room, the sleeping soldiers tense. Des backs away from me, his wicked wings spreading wide until his staggering frame seems to fill the space.
Till darkness dies,
he vows to me. And then he disappears. Chapter 33. Des is on his father in an instant, sword brandished. That's the cue everyone seems to be waiting for. With a battle cry, Malachi charges at the sleeping soldiers just as they rush in to meet us. Janice takes to the air, and Temper lets out a low laugh, her power rippling along her skin. Soldiers, stop! I shout, pushing as much glamour as possible into those two words. The sleeping soldiers should stop, but they don't. Instead, they continue charging forward. The hell? Five of them close in on me at once, and I barely have time to grab my daggers before I start blocking blows. I don't understand. That thought runs on repeat in my head as I fight my assailants. I duck as a double-sided axe swings over my head, then strike out with my daggers. I should have been able to glamour them all. Freeze, soldiers! I say again.
I'm afraid they can't follow your commands,
one of the soldiers says. But it's the thief who's speaking.
They've been warded against your glamour,
he says. Warded against it? I go cold all over. Any advantage I thought I had is gone. And here I thought that perhaps we'd be able to pull this ambush off. But they'd been ready with their own magic. Magic that stripped us of our enchantments and made them impervious to my power. I hear the rip of fabric at my back and feel the sickening sensation of a blade sinking into skin. I feel the cascade of blood spill from the wound before the pain sets in. When it does set in, however, Jesus, it stings like a bitch. Before I can retaliate, another blow follows the first, slicing my arm open. I stagger forward, right into a soldier covered in dried blood and unnameable bits, my wings manifesting in response to the pain and adrenaline. Warm blood drips from my arm and my back, and still the attack keeps coming. It's all I can do to parry most of the blows. Des might have trained me on how to fight, but I'm no match against five Fey soldiers.
Calypso!
Des roars. Suddenly he's at my side, cleaving through sleeping soldiers. But then his father uses the distraction to appear in front of me, weapon raised.
You will not be my downfall, slave,
he vows. I don't even try glamoring Gallagher.
Instead, I do what any sane woman might. I kick that fucker in the balls. Hard.
The reaction is immediate. He doubles over, a choked, hissing noise coming from between his teeth. That's all I see before the sleeping soldiers close in on me again, despite Dez's best efforts. Blood is spraying around my mate as he carves through them, but there's always more to fight, and none of them play fair.
Thief, Dez bellows, you and I had an understanding.
An understanding? The soldiers encircling me suddenly stop fighting, falling at ease.
So we did,
one of them says. I stare around at them. Among the group, Dez's dad begins to straighten. Beyond us, the other sleeping soldiers are still locked in battle, unaware that the fighting in this pocket of the room has stopped. That thought has no sooner crossed my mind than Gallagher disappears, materializing once again in front of me, sword aimed. Before he can land a blow, a hand grabs his wrist and twists, forcing Dez's father to relinquish the blade. I follow the hand back to its owner, shocked to see it belong to a soldier.
What are you doing?
Gallagher cries. An instant later, Dez flickers into existence at his back, locking him in a chokehold.
Aw, did you think you were the only one who made deals with this monster?
My blood goes cold. Dez, what have you done? Gallagher's face twists into a grimace, and then he disappears, Dez vanishing a split second after him. The two flash across the room, popping in and out of existence like fireworks. I can smell blood and dark magic filling the air as the battle wages on. Temper's hair is beginning to levitate with her power, and she wears a wild grin as she fights her opponents. Malachi and Janice battle both in the sky and on the ground, using their wings to gain some advantage. The casket children have their fangs bared, their mouths bloody, and many of the sleeping soldiers have blood-stained blades. It's not going to be a clean win for either side. And then there's me, surrounded by a swath of sleeping soldiers who are now docile. I glance around at them, pointing my dagger.
Why won't you fight? I ask, blood dripping from my wrist as I speak.
I told already, one of them says. Your mate keeps many secrets.
I spin around, looking at each aggressor. From behind their eyes, the thief of souls smirks at me.
You and I had an understanding, the bargainer had said.
What's the understanding you and Desmond have? I ask, leveling the dagger at one of the soldiers' throats.
Really now, are you going to stab me with that?
The thief asks, smirking at the blade. Maybe. I don't know. The threat is so obviously useless on him.
What is the understanding?
I repeat. Around us, screams echo through the room, accompanied by the wet sound of metal cleaving flesh. The air mists with blood. I can taste the barest tang of it on my lips.
Wouldn't you like to know?
The thief and his games. I decided a while ago that I'd had enough of them.
I begin to push past the soldiers. If they won't fight me, I'll go help one of my comrades who is facing overwhelming odds. But as soon as I try to push my way through the crowd of them, they close off my exit.
Get out of my way, I say, my skin brightening.
But they stand resolute. I want to scream. Every moment that passes, my friends grow tired and more injured.
I let my baser nature get the better of me, but your mate is right. I want to leave you whole and untouched,
a soldier says at my back.
For now.
I turn to the fairy who spoke. She has long, wheat-blonde hair that's been plaited away from her angelic face. In her hand, she holds a sickle sword. Walking up to the soldier, I clasp her cheeks, looking deep into her seafoam eyes. The soldier remains still, the thief's gaze lit with interest. I glance down at the woman's lips. It's not my mind you want to touch, is it, thief? The soldier studies me before lowering her eyes to my lips. You want what you got only a taste of in Carnon's prison, I say. Back then, all he did was kiss me. He hadn't done more. I feel the hot rush of my power. Kiss him, kill him, take it all at once. I lean in, my lips so close to the soldier's, my hands sliding up her cheeks, my fingertips brush that plaited hair of hers. We will drag him under and make him give us everything. That quicksilver gaze lingers on me for a second or two.
Look up at your mate,
he says out of nowhere. I frown. All my tightly coiled power is dissipating. Not how this is supposed to be playing out. Why? I say, my gaze unwavering.
I want to make sure you're watching.
I can feel a humming along my skin. Magic, dark, oily magic, begins to vibrate around me. It separates itself from the walls, the floor, and the ceiling, thickening in the air. Around me, the other fairies are beginning to look around in confusion. I narrow my eyes at the thief, even as the magic begins to congeal into twisting clouds of smoke. What are you doing? I ask.
Look up.
My eyes linger on the thief for a long moment, but eventually I do look up, my eyes drawn to my mate. I gasp at the sight.
Chapter 34 Desmond. The years may have passed, but my father still fights the same, like a coward. I chase him through the darkness, the two of us becoming one with it before we return from shadows to men, over and over and over. You cannot kill me, he says as our blades clash. The two of us hover in midair, most of the fairies fighting below. So long as you suffer, I don't fucking care. Save for Callie's father, I have never hungered for vengeance so badly. I want to skewer him like an animal and roast him over a spit. I want to carve him up and make him watch as I remove his organs one by one. I want to use every bit of torture I've perfected over the centuries to make him pay for my mother, for my siblings, for the threat he poses to my mate. Gallagher parries the blow, the blades sparking at the force of the hit. Then he's gone again. I vanish to darkness, sensing him reforming above me. I coalesce back into a man, only for my father to dissipate into shadow once more. Now he's behind me, now he's across the room. I chase him, weaving through the battlefield around us. Malachi is bleeding from his abdomen, and Janice is holding his arm close. Temper might be the least hurt, but her eyes have started to glow. The sorceress is losing her mind and will to her power. And Callie, Callie is facing off against the worst monster of them all. I have doomed her to him. Even now I quake at the thought of Gallagher reforms in front of me. I manifest in front of him, my blade poised. He aims his sword for my stomach, and my swing becomes a defensive strike, knocking his weapon aside. Gallagher laughs. You cannot kill me. Nothing can kill me. Is that why you bound yourself to the thief, so you could never die? A question hardly worth asking. Of course the fool picked the most malevolent being to co-bind himself to. Secrets are meant for one soul to keep, Gallagher says. I nearly drop my sword. My mother used to say that to me when I was a boy. When the sleeping soldiers began to whisper it, I wondered why. Gallagher strikes out again, and I meet the blow with my blade. That bitch who whelped you said that to me, Gallagher says behind our locked blades. Did you know that? Over and over she'd whisper that into my ear like a taunt. But the joke's on her, because she's dead, and the only miserable thing she cared about will die a horrible, grisly death. My little spy, Gallagher continues. The thief sees her from time to time. Has he told you that? Cold-pressed rage drips into my veins. If what he says is true, he loves to torment the dead, and even for our kind, his attentions are uncommonly wicked. The two of us are still locked by our blades, the metal grinding against each other. At least your mother will get a break soon, Gallagher continues. Once I kill your mate, the thief's attention will be wholly occupied. I almost pity that slave of yours. He will make her do things that would make even whores blush. I feel my icy hatred expand. He might even make you watch. I shove Galagar's weapon back, our swords unlocking. There is nothing I'd love more than to run him through, but I haven't survived this long by giving in to my temper. Several sleeping soldiers break away from their fighting when they notice I haven't disappeared. They leap into the air, their wings unfurling, their weapons pointed towards me. I disappear and reform only long enough to kill each one. The soldiers' lifeless forms fall from the air, and I heave several breaths, my body bloody, as I approach my father once more. Galagar's eyes flick briefly to the falling dead. "All that power," he murmurs. "I'm almost proud to see how strong my blood flows." "You could have spared yourself all of this," I say. "I'm only fighting because you wish me dead. Because he learned of his fate and thus made it his mission to kill every last one of his offspring." Galagar laughs like I'm some fool rather than a seasoned king and criminal. "Don't delude yourself, son. That is not the only reason." I scowl at him. "Don't you feel it?" he asks. "Our brutality is right there in our magic, simmering through our veins. If I'd chosen a more peaceful path, I'd still have died by my brood sword. We are a poisoned lot." As if in response, the shadows begin to whisper. I glance down at Callie and the group of sleeping soldiers that encircle her. Her wings are out, and her skin glows. My beautiful, lethal siren. One of the soldiers steps towards her, a sick look in his eye. "Callie." Dread pools in my belly, the likes of which I have never felt. "What could you possibly offer that creature?" I ask Galagar, still staring at the showdown between my mate and the monster Galagar unleashed on this world. That ancient evil is nearly unmatched in power. "Oh, quite a bit, my ill-conceived son," my father replies. "Freedom from his eternal bonds, power, life as we know it, and a kingdom of spirits and rotted flesh, the land of death and deep earth. How could you promise him something like that? A kingdom to conquer, that would be like me offering another the kingdom of fauna. The thief of souls was never death's rightful heir. Surely you know this land sits right on death's doorway," Galagar says. "I marched my forces in, took the palace by force, and let him do the rest." Even here, in the other world, the laws of life and death are fairly rigid. To take the living into the land of the dead, then defeat the dead. And now the thief of souls was a king, not just a puppeteer filling the body of a dead or dying ruler, but one in his own right. You gave him freedom and a kingdom and some of your power, and then you let him put you to sleep, hoping he would wake you up. He did wake me up. That might be the most surprising piece of this whole thing, that the thief actually followed through on his end of the deal. The thief of souls needs Galagar no more than I do. I nearly laugh. "You actually trust him," I say, amazed. My father was always a doomed man. No one can have that sort of ego without consequences. I shake my head. "Surely you know you cannot control something like that," I say. "Something that was older than us, stronger and more malicious than us. Callie will have to face that creature." The dread thickens. "I don't need to," Galagar replies haughtily. "I just need to coexist with him." Now I do let out a cruel laugh. "You think he'll just let you be? You think he owes you any loyalty? I freed him from his eternal bonds." It is a staggering feat. Other kings wouldn't have dared, but it means nothing to a being like the thief. He'll keep you around so long as you please him. And the thief's pleasure is a fleeting thing. Galagar's face twists, his age-old ego, born from centuries of pitiless ruling, now shows itself. He believes too much in his own self-importance to see the truth clearly. My father gives no warning. His form flickers, one moment several feet from me, the next at my back. I sense rather than see his sword arching towards me, In an instant, I'm gone, and then we're back to trading blows. For several minutes, he and I are all that exists. He and I and Callie. Always Callie. I can't not notice her every movement. Her power sings to me even now, that siren in her calling to me, always beckoning me back to her side. It's only time and practice that keep me focused on the battle at hand. I nick Gallagher's arm, and he grazes my thigh. On and on it goes, blow after blow, one close hit followed by another. Never have I fought a more difficult foe, and never have I enjoyed the challenge so much. My father is right. There's brutality in our blood. I've always been aware of it, but it's times like this where I feel the carnage calling to me. I can hear our labored breaths, and smell the sweat and blood and magic dripping from our skin. The whole room is thickening with it. Around me, the shadows have fallen quiet. So very, very quiet. I feel him then, the thief. I parry a blow from my father and let my eyes sweep the room. How had I not noticed? All of that vile, unnatural magic I'm choking on doesn't belong to Gallagher or any one of the sleeping soldiers. It's the thief's. I can feel his life force all around me. He's not simply an undead king or a banished Leviathan. I hadn't realized until now the true nature of darkness. It closes in on me from all sides, one with the magic. We're sorry. So sorry. Cold, bleak certainty washes over me. My eyes move to Callie just in time to meet her horrified gaze. I love you, I want to say. More than worlds can hold or words can convey. You are everything that has ever mattered to me. Have faith and strength. You'll be all right. The darkness closes in on me, descending on my flesh just as I'd seen it do to so many of my enemies. I try to speak the words, to give Callie something, but the shadows sink into me, carrying dark magic with them. It feels like fire beneath my flesh, an inferno in my veins. I'm sorry, Cherub. My beautiful nightmare. You will have to save us all yourself.
Chapter 35. I watch, frozen, as Dez's shadows close in on him. His back arches and his entire body tenses, his muscles straining against his skin. This is what the thief wanted me to see. I clutch my heart. I can feel his pain like a battering ram slamming into me over and over again. I nearly choke on his agony. If I'm feeling that through our connection, then what must he be experiencing? And then the blackness swallows him up. When it clears, he's gone. Immediately, the pain in my chest cuts off. At first, I feel a relief. Dez is in no more pain. But then, panic. Panic like I've never known. I can't breathe. I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. My eyes scour every corner of the room. Where did Dez go? My fingers, still cradling the skin over my heart, now dig in. The Night King's magic, though it still dances through my veins, now feels like a shadow of its former self. And with every exhalation, it dims and dims until I only hold a memory of it inside myself. I grasp at the last tendrils of his power as they slide down our magical connection, down and away from me. All the while, my gaze searches the room. What just happened? Where did Dez go? And why can't I feel him down our bond? In the distance, someone calls out to me. I still can't get enough air. Why? My fingers begin to tingle like they've been kissed by ice. The sensation spreads, numbing me as it goes. Putting my hands to my head, I bow over myself. So confused. Suddenly I feel a presence at my back. Someone grabs a clump of my hair and jerks my head back, placing a blade to my throat. I hear Temper shout, "Time to join your mate." Gallagher hisses against my ear. No sooner are the words out than another burst of that sickening magic blows him back. I told you not to touch her, a soldier says, their voice echoing off the walls.
A second wave of magic follows the first, this one from Temper. It blasts from her palm, hitting Galagar in the head and knocking him out. "Eat shit, motherfucker," she says. Everything happening around me barely registers. All I can focus on is the thump of my heart and the sick certainty that something is wrong. That I am wrong. Where is my mate? Temper's footfalls echo through the room as she comes towards me, her eyes burning. "You've got about a minute to start explaining yourself," she commands a sleeping soldier. "And then I begin to fuck shit up." There's only one human whose words I'll listen to, the soldier replies smoothly, and they aren't yours. This is a dream. Of course, a dream. Dropping my hands, I straighten. Enough with the games. I'm surprised my words come out as even as they do. I search the room for the thief. When I don't see his dark features, I settle on a sleeping soldier. Where's my mate? Glamour coats the words like syrup. Around me, the entire room is poised, the air thick with promised violence and the thief's dark magic. The female soldier I stare at replies, "He's in my kingdom now." Small Death. The thief rules over Small Death. That's how this nightmare is all possible. I'm asleep and the thief is screwing with me. "Wake me up," I demand. The look the thief gives me, if I didn't know him better, I'd almost say it's pity. But he's enjoying this. "This is no dream, Enchantress. If it were, I would stand before you as myself, just as I always have." I glance around at all the frozen faces. Malachi and Janice are sprawled on the ground, their forms unnaturally still. Galagar hasn't moved from where Temper knocked him out, and the rest of the thief's minions seem content to stay where they are. The only other person who seems truly alive is Temper. My gaze falls to her just as she closes in on me. "Dear Temper, my best friend." A tear slips from her burning eyes. I've only ever seen her cry twice. She shakes her head. "Babe, this isn't a dream. This isn't a dream?" "But of course it is. No one is as they seem and nothing feels as it should." My heart spasms and that cold numbness. It's reached my bond to Dez. I stumble, then fall to my knees. Realization is always described as an instant of enlightenment, but that's not how it happens this time. The truth comes in slow, icy increments. I wasn't dropped into some dream. I can remember the last minute and the minute before that. I can remember coming here, and I can remember every logical thing but that last, final one. Dez disappearing. Dez leaving me. Gasping out of breath, I clutch at my heart. "The darkness will betray you," the seer said. I heave out of breath. This is no dream. It feels like I've fallen into an icy lake and the cold water is seizing up my lungs. Another breath comes shuddering out. If it isn't a dream, that means that Dez... My throat spasms as a cry works its way up. I'm shaking my head. No. No, 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 no. The cry is building at the back of my throat. He can't be dead. I scream, my siren rising within me. My wings flare wide and my scales ripple across my forearms, my skin burning bright, so terribly bright. My fingers throb where my claws have extended. I don't feel human, I don't feel fey. I'm losing myself, my heart and head trying fruitlessly to slip down the bond I share with Dez, chasing after the last echoes of his power. But it's gone. It's gone. And I don't know if it's ever coming back. We will get it back. Or else. I'm screaming and screaming and screaming, and the whole world is falling. My pain is darkening, deepening like the night, until I don't know where the agony ends and the anger begins. We'll kill and kill and kill and kill and... Calypso! I turn at the echoing sound of Temper's voice. Her eyes burn with her power. At her feet is Malachi, his body lying prone. Not too far away, Janice lays, his form similarly stupefied. Victims of the thief's dark magic. We're leaving, Temper says. The sorceress's gaze, her fiery gaze, is focused on Gallagher's still form. Her vengeance matches ours. The former Night King lies sprawled on the ground, unconscious from her last hit. Temper raises her hand, her palm outstretched. She means to kill him. No, I say, my voice vibrating with my power. His death is mine to claim. Temper's eyes narrow on Gallagher, even as her lips curve up just the slightest. The smile is nothing but cruel. Fine. She turns her attention to a sleeping soldier. You fucked with the wrong humans, she says, her voice resonating with her own magic. From her feet, fire flares to life. It races out along the ground in a dozen different directions, heading for the sleeping soldiers. First one alights, then another, and another. One by one, the thief's minions get swept up by flame. They shriek as their bodies blacken and burn, and I feel nothing at all. The fires rage for only a few minutes, and when it's extinguished, all that remains of the soldiers are blackened bones and ash. The only people left in the room are me, Temper, Malachi, and Janice, the last two of whom are still unmoving, the thief's magic clinging to their skin. And then there's Gallagher Nix, the root of all my suffering. I rise from the ground, my wings fanning wide behind me. Slowly I pace to him. I feel so cold. Even my rage burns like ice. The only things left inside me are pain and vengeance. Dez's father is beginning to stir, moaning a little. Temper steps up to him, laughing low in her throat. You're going to wish you were dead. Her voice is inhuman, possessed by her wicked nature. For once, I wholly embrace it. This is why no one crosses us. We are fearsomely wrought. I close in on Gallagher, pulling out the iron shackles from my back pocket. I ignore the way the metal sizzles against my skin as I grab the former king's wrists. Dragging them behind his back, I slap on one cuff, then the other, pinning his arms behind him. Slit his throat, rip his heart out and make him eat it, disembowel him and dance on his innards. I want it all. Make him pay for what he did to our mate. Gallagher's moans get louder and his eyes begin to flutter. Crouching next to him, I whisper a single promise. Your will is mine. All those years I'd been under the yoke of my conscience, I'd been running from this single sobering truth. I can do more than bend others to my will. I can utterly enslave them to it. All this time I'd hidden from my true nature. I'll hide from it no more. Chapter 36. I can't feel a thing. I didn't feel Temper's touch when she held me in her arms, her skin like fire to my ice. I didn't feel the bite of pain or gratitude when several night fae collected us from that cavern. And I didn't feel the lashing wind against my cheeks during the long journey back to Somnia. It's only once I'm deposited in my chambers and I take a shuddering breath that I feel something. Agony like no other. It weakens my knees and chokes the breath out of me. I squeeze my eyes shut. This is worse. So much worse than feeling nothing. This pain is like a wound that's bleeding me out. Temper is still at my side, her fingers threaded through mine. I slip my hand out of hers. Leave me, I say. There's no way she'd ever leave me if circumstances were normal. But my skin is still glowing and my glamour is still riding my words. My siren hasn't left me since the battle, and even a sorceress as powerful as Temper can't fight my magic. This is bullshit. Temper mutters as her feet carry her out of the room.
She grabs the door handle and opens the door. Soon as your glamour wears off, I'm coming back for you.
The door clicks shut behind her and her voice gives way to silence. My eyes sweep over the suite. Dez's wedding present to me. A sob slips out and my chest heaves with empty, silent cries. I wander to the infinity pool with its glowing water. Step by step, I slip into the pool, clothes and all. Beneath the surface, my head slips. This can't be real. Pain like this doesn't exist, and surely one can't survive this sort of suffering. I sink to the bottom of the pool and stare up through the water. From here, I can hear the water rushing between my ears, and I can see the suite's lamps glimmering far above me. I could stay right here forever, and I'd be fine with that. I don't think a siren is capable of drowning, but I'm always willing to test that theory. If I died, I'd be in the kingdom of death and deep earth. Then I'd be back with Desmond once and for all. My throat tightens. He's gone. But I could join him. I could join him in the land of the dead. That's what the thief wants. I let out a moan. The sound warped beneath the water. There's no relief from this agony. Not even death will be the end of it. If I died, I would fall under the thief's reign. Then the monster could wholly control me, and I doubt reuniting me with my mate is a part of his plan. So I'm stuck here, in the land of the living, all while Dez is dead. Dead. A sob slips out then, a burst of bubbles forming with the cry. But once I start weeping, I can't seem to stop. My sirenic voice turns the sound into music, and it's horrible that pain can sound so lovely. He's gone, and I don't know what to do. That motherfucking thief and his sick, twisted game. I played right into his hand the moment I decided to go after Galagar. When I set foot into that cavern, the teeth of his trap had snapped shut around me. Dez is gone. Malachi and Janice are catatonic, victims of the same dark magic that compromised the sleeping soldiers. And I am broken. All my fault. If I hadn't made the call to go after Galagar, Dez would be here still. I close my eyes, tears slipping into the water. I don't know how long I linger down at the bottom of the pool, longer than a human could withstand. Eventually, someone leaps into the pool and scoops me up, dragging me out of the water. I cough a little, my lungs heaving in a breath. Your Majesty! I blink at the fey soldier, the water dripping down my glowing skin. He looks panicked. I know it's hard, but you can't die. Our kingdom needs you. I'm not going to die. I'm already dead. What is death? Do the dead ever truly die? My breath catches on that last thought. Do they? Is Dez still out there? My gaze sharpens on the soldier. Behind him, the door hangs open. Temper must have tipped him off that I was not in a good place. We need you, the night soldier repeats, shaking me a little. His words finally register. Our kingdom needs you. I work my throat. He wants me to be a queen, to step up and rule now that my mate cannot. The last decision I made killed my mate. But there's no one else left to make decisions. Every other ruler is dead or incapacitated. I swallow and nod. Okay, I say, my voice hoarse. He sets me down. I'm dripping luminous water all over the floor. What am I supposed to do? I ask, my voice raw. I know nothing about being a queen. The soldier's gaze travels over me. Rule. Rule and save us. The royal guard leaves soon after that. I don't know how I managed to convince him that I'm all right. I'm not, and I probably shouldn't be alone, even though I can't bear the thought of sharing this grief with anyone else. It feels strangely personal. I wring out my hair.